Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is an RNZ podcast. Ngā mihi nui and welcome to Elemental, RNZ's chemistry podcast. We are marking the International Year of the Periodic Table with an alphabetical look at the chemical elements. I'm Alison Balance, and I'm quite frankly appalled at myself, really, for discovering just how many chemical elements I had never heard of before. Thank goodness for this podcast, which is teaching me heaps.
And I'm Alan Blackman from the Auckland University of Technology, and I am also learning heaps. I've got to admit, I'm a professor. People think professors know everything. Hell no, they don't.
Well, this is episode 24 of Elemental, which means we're actually a quarter of the way through our series, but we have only just made it to the fourth letter in the alphabet, the letter D. And once again, it's one that's a complete mystery to me this week. Dysprosium. Dysprosium, Alan?
Yes, yes.
Has me quite disconcerted and discombobulated. Spelt D-Y-S-P-R-O. Where does that name even come from?
Okay, so dysprosium comes from the Greek, and again, excuse my pronunciation, dysprositos, which means, quite appropriately, hard to get.
Oh, that's an excellent name. Hard to get.
Okay, vital statistics. Dysprosium, chemical symbol Dy, atomic number 66, which sort of puts it in the middle of the periodic table, and it was first discovered in 1886. And it's a lanthanoid. So we've met a few lanthanoids in our trip thus far, also known as rare earth elements, and again, that makes it a metal. And hands up those of you listening who've actually ever heard of dysprosium.
Not me.
Yes, no, I can't see many hands out
there. No, Jason in the sound studio's got his hand up. He's shaking his head. He's never heard of it either.
Well, quite surprisingly, it's twice as abundant as tin on Earth. So, yeah. Again, I'm telling you, I'm learning things every day. So why has it got this name hard to get, or why was it derived from the Greek for hard to get? Because it was, in fact, hard to get. And the guy that eventually got it, I'm sure, named it very, very appropriately.
It was probably a heartfelt name.
Oh, yes. And oh, yes, yes. Hours in the lab here. Days, weeks, months, probably. And as we've talked about before with the lanthanoid elements, we find that they tend to occur together and they can be quite difficult to separate. So in 1886, there was a sample of yttrium oxide. Now, yttrium is another element that we will come to.
Quite a long way down the track, since
Yes.
It starts with Y.
In the Ys, yes, indeed. So there was a sample of yttrium oxide, which is a rare earth oxide. So further study of this found that it contained two other lanthanoid elements, and these are erbium and terbium.
God, they sound like sort of gnomes.
So what they did was to take the erbium fraction, and then they started investigating that and doing some studies on it, and that was shown to actually contain two other elements, holmium and thulium.
Oh, good Lord, this episode is full of things I've never heard of.
And then the holmium fraction was found to be contaminated with dysprosium oxide. And so they tried to separate the dysprosium from the holmium, and this took 32 precipitations of the hydroxide and then another 26 precipitations of the oxalate. So anybody who's ever been in a chemistry lab would know that that would take a long amount of time. And so that's why the name was given, hard to get. And the name of the discoverer is also as good as the element name. His name was Paul-Émile Lecoq de Bois-Baudrin.
That's some name, and the recipe of how to find it is also quite a performance. Is it worth all that effort?
Well, it's another element, isn't it? So of course it's worth all that effort. Even if it's not the most useful element on planet Earth, the pure metal is, like all of the lanthanoids, very reactive. And so if you put it in an atmosphere of either air or water, then it will react with both of those. It's used in halide discharge lamps, so dysprosium iodide. That gives a very, very intense white light out of these lamps. The dysprosium oxide is used in nuclear reactors as a cermet. Now, this is a word that I hadn't come across before, and a cermet is a mixture of a ceramic and a metal. So this is mixed with nickel, and what happens is that this mixture absorbs neutrons without changing its size. And absorbing neutrons moderates the fission reaction and keeps everything safe.
Well, I have to say its uses are sounding pretty niche so far.
Yes, you want niche? Let's keep going. So dysprosium compounds are also important, and they're being very, very highly studied at the moment as single molecule magnets. We think of magnets as being big three-dimensional slabs of magnetic material, but we can make dysprosium compounds which, as the molecules themselves, act as magnets. What else does dysprosium do? Well, it's a component of a thing called terphenol. And that is a mixture of terbium and iron and dysprosium, and I think we've got some oxygen in there as well. And that is what is called a magnetostrictive alloy.
Which means what?
It means what? Quite amazingly, if you apply a magnetic field to this stuff, it changes its shape.
Oh.
Which is kind of cool. Yeah. And so that could make it potentially very, very useful in very small-scale motors or pumps or things like that where you require some motion. So if you had to say what's the most important usage of dysprosium, it's definitely in magnets. And it does find use in electric vehicle motors, so drive motors for electric vehicles. Now, it works really, really well here. Trouble is you need about 100 grams per electric vehicle. And how much dysprosium do we get out of the planet every year? Only around about 100 tons. And 99% of that comes from China. And so at 100 grams per vehicle and only 100 tons a year, we aren't going to get many vehicles out of that. So that really isn't going to work.
No.
Unfortunately.
Even I can do the maths on that one.
And back to the single molecule magnet thing. What use are single molecule magnets? Well, potentially they're very, very useful in computer technology, and it's a replacement for our current silicon-based computer technology. The reason being that, as you know, computers work in binary, zeros and ones, and magnets sort of work in binary as well. They can be aligned with a magnetic field or opposed to a magnetic field. And so if you can make individual molecule magnets, then you can use them as computer bits. And that then is going to shrink down, in particular, computer storage. It's going to shrink it down absolutely massively, orders of magnitude, if we can get these things to work. So that is certainly a potential usage for dysprosium in the future.
Well, that certainly sounds intriguing. And I know you're only talking about using individual molecules, but surely you have to use lots of individual molecules. And don't you, when I'm thinking of the number of silicon chips, for instance, that we go through each year these mm-hmm. days, wouldn't we immediately start running into the same supply issues for electric vehicles?
I think you're probably right there. We very probably would, yes.
Anyway, so I think it's just proved its name. It's hard to get, but in a different way now. It's just that its supply is limited. There's just not enough of the stuff. But the same, Alan, can't be said of this podcast.
Amen.
There are still plenty of episodes of Elemental coming your way over the next few months. So to keep it coming, why not subscribe to the podcast on your favourite podcast app?
And you can always listen online at rnz.co.nz/elemental. Elemental is a podcast from RNZ. I'm Alan Blackman from the Auckland University of Technology.
And I'm Alison Balance. Thanks for your company. Catch you next time. Cheerio.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.